This is a session on discovering the storyteller, and it's time to explore our personality in relation to our spirituality. I think it's only natural, if those of you were at the session this morning, that in discovering our personality traits, that we're inclined, that will incline us some to one kind of prayer and spirituality more than to another. And I think it would be easy for us to realize that if we were just to even talk about the Vespers we just sat through and the variety of mixed reactions that people would have to it. Some premises then are that there's a relationship between our temperament and the kind of prayer, spirituality, and worship that we practice. I mentioned this morning that some of the tragedy might be that we've been forced by training into a form that was appropriate for one particular temperament or one particular method that wasn't the best for us. And we might be able to talk some more about that. In essence, then, different personalities need different spiritualities. I'd like y'all to just for a moment think about how you experience God. When do you feel closest to God? Where do you find God? And when do you feel like you are praising God? And to just think for a moment about where and when that is. Out of curiosity, where do some of you find that? Jim?
Double Lakes is the last one.
Double Lakes? Outside in nature? Anybody else?
In people?
Amy?
I don't like to separate my life and my worship. I tend to think of just life as prayer. Worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ritual.
Ritual.
Sharing.
Sharing. Okay. Well, more of this will unfold, I think, as we start to look at personality types. Knowing myself better, or finding the me in my own story, has helped me to understand why I find some kinds of prayer really attractive and other kinds very uninteresting and dull. Why I find some worship energizing and other kinds very draining. We meet God in our story, and discovering my inner story reveals God in time and place, in my time and place, not in someone else's. In the book Please Understand Me, the author, David Kiersey, I think is how he pronounces it, isolates four basic temperaments of human behavior, taking the 16 types and reducing them basically to four. And he's more concerned with external behavior of the different types rather than how each functions. And so he's reduced them to the four combinations of SJ, SP, NT, please move if you can't see these. And NF. He only uses two pairs of preferences in determining the basic temperament. So when the perceiving function is intuition, then he uses the third pair of preferences, T or F. And when the perceiving function is sensing, he uses the fourth pair of preferences, either a J or a P. So in essence, we all fall in one of those four categories. And like I said before, his focus is on outward behavior. And if we focus on the inner functions, then the types that Myers-Briggs give apply to the situation better. But that's not what we're going to do in terms of spirituality. And we'll make a distinction between spirituality and prayer. Spirituality being the concern about our behavior in three basic relationships: with God, with others, and with ourselves. And prayer more concerning the inner workings of our specific relationship with God, focusing more on that particular relationship. All indicators, though, point to a close relationship between our innate temperament and the type of prayer that's best suited to our needs. Introverts differ than extroverts. Intuitives approach God differently than sensors. Feelers pray in a different way from thinkers, and so on. And as we grow and learn to make good use of all of our abilities, like I talked about this morning, we all have use both sides. I think our worship life and prayer life can become richer. So what we're talking about is how we hear God, the storyteller, and how we respond to hearing God, those two things. And through history, different worldviews and temperament have been more dominant throughout history. If you were to kind of maybe trace the history of Christianity, you would see that there were different times when different types were more dominant, and including right now. Presently, a type that I'll talk about, SPs, the free spirit type, is currently pretty popular, along with SJs, who are the more conservative law and order type. Those two are kind of both really kind of popular right now. So let's look at the four basic temperaments. And I don't know that you're all going to be able to see this. But I'll try to talk about it, and you can come up and look at it a little more closely. Those four types that I mentioned, divided up to NFs, NTs, SPs, and SJs, you'll all fall into one of those four. Again, I emphasize my own need to not categorize or label people. So, pretty difficult to see? Well, okay. We'll start with the first one, NFs. About 12% of the general population are NFs. But 50%, like I said this morning, go to retreats and houses of prayers and kind of workshop, self-growth, spiritual-oriented kinds of things. So just out of curiosity, again, probably similar to this morning, how many NFs are in here? Yeah, probably over half. Okay. A word that's used to describe this form is the word transposition. I'll explain that a little bit. But this kind of form of spirituality teaches a lot of personal reflection on the presence of God, kind of trying to feel God, more or less. And they have a lot of emphasis on, of course, intuition and feeling. And they have the greatest drive for self-development and spiritual growth. They're on that kind of path. The transposition kind of key word relates to the need to take from the past into the present, kind of to transpose the past into the present. And Luke is particularly popular with people who are NFs because they really show the compassion of Jesus and Jesus being real person-oriented. They tend to be future-oriented, look beyond, and they have a lot of creative imagination. And NFs tend to enjoy intense dialogue in terms of their spirituality and try to kind of have this intense conversation in some ways with God. They tend to be journalers, like to journal, have difficulty handling criticism, but they like to freely give. They're usually more accepting, supportive type, non-competitive, need a lot of true quiet. And they're kind of asking the question spiritually, how can I become the person I want to be? Sound familiar? OK. kind of asking God to help them with that. They tend to be compassionate, to need a lot of praise, and to look for meaning and depth in a lot of things. These are the kind of people that are, you know, having intense process a lot. They tend to be optimistic. And to give you an example of this book, takes some time to make some prayer suggestions in the different types. An example of what an NF might do is to read a passage in the Bible, let's say Hosea 2:16-22, and then imagine God or Jesus speaking those words to you. What meaning would you derive from them? Change the words, pronouns, names so that they apply to your present situation. Write the passage on a piece of paper. Imagine going to the mailbox and receiving today a personal letter addressed to you containing these words, transposing it to the present. What meaning would they have? That's just sort of an example of an NF kind of style or prayer of approaching their own spirituality. They also, St. Paul was considered an NF, or his writing at least was, and also the Augustine. This is often called Augustinian prayer style. St. Paul, in his writings, sort of continually peeking around the corner to envision new insights. You get the spirit of that in his writing. What do you think that worship might look like for an NF? Do you think the worship we just sat through might have been an NF style? Anybody? Okay. Kind of reflective in some ways. The whole notion of the story in some ways was trying to grow spiritually. Anybody else?
The Tazay service?
The Tazay?
Mm-hmm. That was SP Music Festival.
Yep. Just to clarify that.
Something perhaps outside.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, some of you might realize that maybe your personality type doesn't fit with what you've experienced spiritually, and we can talk some more about that. But a lot of times we've sort of been molded into a particular type and end up choosing that more out of tradition than out of who we really are, which is the notion of this book, Who We Are Is How We Pray, as opposed to how we were taught to pray. The next one, the SP, those are our free spirits. And a key word for them would be celebration. And this is currently a real popular form of spirituality. Although more like 38% of the general population are SPs. It's a fair amount, approaching half. How many SPs do we have in here? There's not any. Oh, we don't have to talk about it. No SPs? That's interesting. Well, they're into celebrating a lot more. Maybe they don't want to do any of this heavy kind of stuff. But it's currently really popular. And they tend to be more action-oriented. They're free, unconfined, impulsive, spontaneous, not tied down to rules. They love a lot of action. They wouldn't want to kind of sit around too much. They're bored with the status quo. They're kind of like willing to go where the spirit calls. And Franciscan, or St. Francis, is kind of given as a model for this type. And if any of you know the story of St. Francis, it makes kind of a lot of sense. He kind of got a calling in the middle of the churchyard and tore off all his clothes and decided to follow God and was quite a free spirit. It's very individualistic, which might, you know, account for why it's really popular right now. I think we're into a very individualistic time in our society and culture. But they like to get things moving. They have unlimited energy. They don't like to focus on ideas, but rather on events and experiences. They dislike or don't feel a need for long, formal prayers. And they like the stories of Jesus a lot because there's an enfleshment of God in Jesus. They're good at unsnarling messes, and they act for others. Their work is really their prayer. They're into praising, free-flowing, enjoy creation, and the task that they believe in becomes their play. And Peter is often associated with the SP personality type. He was a man of action, and he sort of maintained a lot of peace among the opposing theological schools that started to happen after Christ died. In terms of kind of being a peacemaker, he was action-oriented like Mark. But the SP type is, although accounts for a lot of the general population, they tend to only show up about 10% in sort of churches and organized kinds of religion, probably because it's too confining for them.
What about NS?
They tend to be about 50% of retreatants, but in terms of church, a predominant one are the SJs. If you were to kind of like survey organized churches, SJs would be there a lot. We'll talk about them. But there's not even any SPs here, so we can't even get their perspective. An example, though, of their spirituality might be to watch a beautiful sunset or sunrise, contemplate the waves of the ocean, a mountain lake, a waterfall, a tree, a leaf, a bee, a beetle, an animal. If you have a telescope, look at one of the planets, Saturn or Jupiter. If you have a microscope, study a leaf or a crystal of some sort. As you contemplate God's creation, try to come to a better appreciation of God's beauty, power, goodness, love, and wisdom. Or another, plan an act of charity for someone in need, then endeavor to carry it out, either alone or with the help of others. So, it's a real flavor of St. Francis. You just switched, yeah. Well, the thing of it is, a high percentage of people are that in the general population, but it's not reflected as much in church. And so, yeah. I think it says a lot, although I think a lot of us would like to be that more. So, let's talk about NTs for a minute. Are there any NTs here? Yeah, I thought that you were this morning. Okay. You're our scholar. You're our resident kind of academic type. And you like to hear a lot about intellectual ideas in relation to your spirituality. You're rare. You're unique. 12% of the general population are NTs. And they're much in the minority, and very much in the minority in the church, although they tend to be associated with St. Thomas, who was the real scholar. Yeah, Randy?
I just want to make sure you don't get me.
It's too
easy.
Oh, I didn't see you. I didn't see you raise your hand.
I didn't hear you.
Okay.
I was off doing something else.
He's probably studying.
He's going on this next thing. He's distracting.
He's meditating.
Yeah.
Well,
NTs are really emphasize the orderly progression of thought from cause to effect. They're rational thinkers, and oftentimes non-kind of logical thinkers find this very unprayer-like, that what an NT considers prayer and spirituality, other people think that's reflection. You know, that's not prayer. They're not well appreciated. People often resist this style of spirituality. because they gravitate to facts and using the mind, deal with abstraction. They have a lot of desire to understand and predict, and they'd like to control and master whatever is attempted. Even though it's not meant to be a head trip, that's what a lot of us who are not NTs often react to it as being. They're usually the intellectual leaders, perfectionistic, and often criticize things. Common folk may find it difficult, especially if they're a leader in worship life, to relate to them. Some of you might have maybe had pastors or priests who were NTs and just were, you know, bored to death or just found it very, very difficult to relate to. They have a lot of fear of failure. They tend to be workaholic, competitive, sometimes very insensitive in interpersonal relationships, very direct. They need to develop more of their feeling side. They're pretty impersonal. They're often oblivious to others' emotional responses. They don't rate high on the pastoral end of things. They're virtuous, and they often deplore stupidity or incompetence. They often tend to be very much unaware of how their behavior affects other people, their cold, impersonal way of acting, hurting others, and oftentimes people feel discounted in their presence.
Jackie, I'm embarrassed at me.
We like you.
I was sort of fascinated with his type, so I probably wrote down more information about them. Okay, now let me. I'm trying to redeem them because we really need them.
We'll get into the good stuff.
Okay.
Let's be direct about it.
Well, they're really good for good liturgical celebrations. They delight in planning not only their own life but others as well. They're very future oriented. The past, as far as they're considered, is dead and gone. I don't know if you call this positive or not, but they're usually fascinated by power, not only over people, but nature, ideas, and the future. And their desire for power is often a secret motive behind their intense need for competency. It's very important. Why are people nodding? Do you know someone or what? Your husband? I think they've fallen on hard times, but they're very much needed today. I think, you know, we're kind of moving toward a lot of sort of maybe mystical, new age stuff is becoming very popular, and maybe there's sort of a break with some of the rational thought. John, the Gospel John, is often associated with this type, because he gives a fresh synthesis of existing ideas. He's kind of the contemplative mystic forerunner. And really, in his book, he emphasizes a lot about truth and knowledge. I am the way, the truth. And so John is often associated with this type as well as St. Thomas. And the key word for NTs is reflection, because it's often thought to be just more ideas and academic kind of thought. So, any reaction to this type?
He's just thinking about it for a while.
Yeah.
I think that the part about controlling the universe and stuff is, as I understand it, it's more, the language I like better is the one that says that there's an intense need to understand and have a grasp of what things are about, particularly relationships and the universe in general.
A desire to understand and predict in some ways. Yeah.
Yeah, that's control is not, I don't think it's as important as just understanding why it's happening.
Well, control, the word control's gotten a bad rap in this group, right? So. It's also something I mean, it's not always a negative thing. So we didn't have some people worried about that. It'd be pretty chaotic. So any other ways you want to redeem yourselves? I didn't mean to. Just to give you an example, they might read about Mary and Luke and then consider and contemplate the faith of Mary, who's a great saint primarily because of her faith. Faith means the total commitment and blind trust of our lives into the hands of God. We can understand the meaning of faith by seeing it exemplified in the life of another person. Write down the qualities of Mary's faith as you see them exemplified in the Annunciation. What changes do you need to make in your life in order to bring your faith more into conformity with Mary's faith? Or study carefully the Jesus' teaching about divine providence. What of it do you agree with? What do you consider not applicable? And so forth. So it's very more heady or thought process. And I'm sure they write most of the Bible studies that a lot of us.
Yeah, I want to share something on this. Probably I come closest to God working in the church when I'm asked to lead an adult Sunday school class on something that I really don't know much about. And so, as my wife says, I lose you for 3 or 4 weeks while you read everything you can, and you've got this much material for this much time. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that so much. In a way, I can hardly wait till they ask me again so I can go off and read everything I can on it and organize it and, you know, something that I can put together and present, because it's kind of a spiritual catharsis for myself and mm-hmm. working through all these ideas and ordering them.
Mm-hmm.
I find my work in the church, probably that part, most satisfying.
Sounds like that really energizes you spiritually to do
that. I don't even like to go to bed. I mean, I've been on this stuff and 1 in the morning and I'm still having a wonderful time.
You must really clash then with a lot of other people, just because you're in such a minority. I mean, really.
That doesn't usually bother me that much.
Well, that's one of the it doesn't really matter whether anybody tend to.
But he presents it well, and people like us listen, and that's great.
Sure. I think the struggle is for those of us who need that feeling side perhaps more, and maybe feel cheated when we can't experience it, you know, with another person in the same way that he'd probably rather have more thought shared from the rest of us. So, yeah. Randy, did you want to say anything more?
No, you probably
okay.
know.
No.
You probably know well enough.
Oh, I don't want to get inside these, you know, somebody that I'm not and speak for him. So, the last one, the SJs, account for 50% of the people in church. And the SJs, this was helpful to me. Their key word is projection. Another way to talk about them might be the law and order type. They're also 40% of the general population. So if you keep in mind that together those bottom two are 80% of the population, you can imagine some of the clashing that goes on and the frustration. But 50% of people attending in church are SJs, and they like structure. They like a carefully organized approach to their prayer life, patterned, orderly agenda. They're maybe conservative in the true sense of the word, that they have a strong loyalty to tradition. So, you know, over half of the people, or almost half of the people in church, it makes good sense why churches stay pretty traditional sometimes and are hard to move away from that. They project the person as a participant into the different scenes and experiences of the life of Jesus and history versus the NFs who transpose it the other way. They like to project themselves back into the scene versus the other people wanting to bring it the other way. So they like to put themselves in the scene or the event when they're meditating. They really appreciate the historical dimension of prayer, how it's come down through history. They like the notion that people have been saying this prayer perhaps for a long period of time, and they find strength in that roots. Do we have any SJs in here? Yeah, I thought we did. Okay. They have a really sense of continuity of the beginning of Christianity till today. They appreciate ritual a great deal. They tend to be a little more pessimistic, but they like an organized approach to God. They'd rather be givers than receivers. And the spirituality of the liturgical year is a good example of SJ kind of spirituality. You know how there's a rhythm every year to it, and we honor certain days in the liturgical calendar.
And they look forward to them.
They look forward to them, right. Yeah. There was somebody here at Holden a few weeks ago, or we were talking about getting ready to change our worship space, and I said, you know, I really get tired of this calendar we have to follow all of the time. But there's some comfort found in it, you know, for some people. They like ceremony. They have a sense of duty and obligation, and they may continue going to church even though religion may have lost a lot of its appeal. And my sense is that SJs are also the people who have a strong sense in AA and the 12-step groups to sort of keep things really the same. And yeah. It's worked for over 50 years. You know, we don't want to change it, kind of stuff.
Is that if it's not broken, don't fix it?
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not into the possibilities. They're into the roots have stronger. They have a stronger sense of loyalty to that than to the possibilities. I don't know, SJs, speak for yourselves here. Does that resonate with your own experience? They usually appreciate Matthew because he emphasized a lot of the continuity with the Old Testament, the prophets and so forth. And James also, a book that Martin Luther kind of wanted to throw out because it was so full of duty and obligation. I think people who are SJs generally like that because he really emphasizes, you know, implementing your faith into action. He was sort of considered a law and order man. But I think that, you know, because SJs are so predominant in the church, it explains why there's often it's a long, hard process to change. Because they like structure. An example for the prayers of Ignatius, if any of you are Catholic, are this type. It's a real structured, orderly form of doing prayer. And that's to place oneself in the biblical scene and become part of it in some way by your imagination. And the prayers of Ignatius suggest that we try to imagine what we might see, what we might hear, and what the persons in the scene might be doing. Always at each point of the contemplation, Ignatius says, we must try to draw some practical fruit from the reflection for our own life today. In other words, what changes or challenges does our reflection on the event furnish us? So you might imagine yourself a friend and fellow villager of either Mary, Martha, or Lazarus. You happen to meet one of them in the village, and you're told that Jesus is coming in to visit in Bethany. You express an interest in meeting him, and you're invited to come the next evening to have dinner with them. Close your eyes and try to relive in your imagination with as many vivid details as you can what your meeting and the ensuing conversation with Jesus would be like, and draw some practical fruit from it. I think of the millions of times I've heard pastors kind of make us do that in their preaching sometimes. So that's just an example. Any comments on those four types of responses in terms of your own spirituality?
Can we mix and match?
Oh, sure. I think the whole, you know, point in the Myers-Briggs and personality types is to develop your shadow side or your less dominant side. And in a couple of these books on prayer and temperament and spirituality, they emphasize that, you know, in your regular sort of prayer or kind of working on your conscious contact with God, is to use the type that's comfortable for you. But on days when maybe your day off or a weekend or when you have better energy, to maybe challenge yourself to try the other harder forms and try to develop those other dimensions of your personality, but not to do it when you're kind of low energy or doesn't feel. It's kind of like trying to do something right-handed if you're left-handed or left-handed if you're right-handed. Sometimes you can do it when you have a lot of energy, but not when you're tired or fatigued. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting when you described the SJ characteristics. I'm an NF, and I've always felt like I should be more of an SJ. I don't know why. Maybe it's my Catholic.
Probably a lot of us have felt that. Yeah. Because it's so predominant. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of people sometimes who maybe get into dysfunction or addiction or compulsive behaviors in some way and kind of move away from God and organized religion, in many ways find that the sharing and stuff that happens at AA meetings and 12-step meetings feel more like church or God to them than any kind of time they've spent sitting in a pew in some church. So, I think that's true. Anyone else?
I know for me, I appreciate, I'm reminding me of Chuck Carlson, but I appreciate all the different kinds of worship we have, but with being an NF, I really like to, you know, say one thing over and over again. And I guess that's where I get in tune the most. And I just appreciate the others, but it really doesn't do anything.
I know that, I think it's important to realize that then if somebody's in the position of being in a leader in worship, like in a lot of congregations, they have an ability to really turn some people off and really invite other peoples in, which is why I think good worship probably includes a lot of the dimensions of this, of all different types. You know, there's some connection to the past, and if there's some of the free spirit, trying out new things. And I think sometimes maybe it's a mistake for a church to maybe try to be all things or try to do all different parts. Maybe it's better if people gravitate towards communities of faith that are where they feel comfortable. But it's fun to experience, like you said, the other parts. I think sometimes at Holden, because there's such a predominance of NFs here, some of the other people get, you know, pretty... maybe discontent. And I think a lot of our guests sometimes may be more in these bottom two and find our worship pretty challenging or disquieting.
So you have those lectures in the morning that satisfy all that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you think of the whole day, mm-hmm. it's true that you're thinking of the night services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then, who knows, maybe the majority of our guests that come here are NFs as well. It's hard to know. So.
Participation is never discouraged. So whatever kind of worship you like, if you want to put it together,
it's possible.
You're walking the wood.
That's a lot more possible here in the winter than it is in the summer. But. Yeah, in the winter, sure. Um, again, I want to emphasize that everybody has some ability in all the functions, but we tend to use one side and neglect the other. Our dominant function, like I said, is the last letter. And then our shadow side is the opposite of what our dominant is. And that's what Jung calls our, like I said, our shadow side. The interesting thing about Eucharist, I think, is that the Eucharist really ties in all of the four functions. You have the community dimension of people having sort of a family meal, which appeals to the SPs, the feeling. And then there's the word or the thinking part that appeals to the NTs, the kind of the word part of it. And then there's the cross, which is a symbol that's visible that appeals probably to the sensors in the group, the STs. And then the meal itself is probably more meaningful for the intuitive, the bread and the wine and that experience. A method of praying, which is considered the Benedictine style, involves four phases of reading, meditating, praying, and contemplation. Reading being the S function, meditating being the thinking function, prayer being the feeling function, and contemplation being the end function. Or as a kind of Southern minister says, I read myself full, I thinks myself clear, I pray myself hot, and I lets myself cool. So sort of the process of praying is to do all of those. I just close by saying God, the sublime storyteller, calls us into the passion of telling our tale, our own unique spirituality and form of prayer, comes in our struggle for individual meaning, identity, and truth, wrestling with the angles of life, the light and the dark ones, and celebrating the places where God stirs us. May you celebrate your spirituality out of who and what you are and your uniqueness. So, the end. Mm-hmm.